Born in Prestonwood, would you stand and worship with us? Good to see you today. Love this song. Sing about what we believe. I believe. Come on.
I believe there's one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
I believe
in the crucifixion. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is death's defeat.
Come on, all praise.
All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe.
I believe.
I believe. Hope of heaven, he's preparing a place for me. Far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see the lamb.
God sent his only son to die on the cross for your sin, for my sin, conquer death, ascend to the right hand of his Father, just for you, just for me, so that we can spend eternity with him. Is that what you believe this morning? Is that why you are here? Welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad to be worshiping together this morning. For all of you online, welcome. We're glad you're here. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone you haven't said good morning to yet and say hello to them.
Thank you.
Let's stay standing together. You know, one of the ways that we worship here every single Sunday is through celebrating with those who gave their life to Christ. And we honor that in believers' baptism. So let's continue to stand in honor of that. Pastor Buster.
Amen. Good morning, Preston Wood. We have three following Christ in baptism. This is Joe Mazurkiewicz. Joe was in this service 4 weeks ago, and he went home by himself, and he got down on his knees, and he asked Christ to come into his heart. So, Joe, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command. It's my privilege to baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Christy King. Christy, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I am.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This fine young man is Hutton Walsh. Hutton, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear it with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
We stand in awe, for we have
there's never been and there will never be a God like you, a love so true. There has never been and there will never be a God like you, a love so true. There has never been.
There's a place for me. I'm a child. Is that your testimony this morning? Are you a child of God in this house today? Has He chosen you? Has He come and rescued you? Has He saved you this morning? Just say amen to the Lord Jesus for His goodness in our lives today. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? We want to extend that welcome from Caleb just a moment ago. And I want to just say to you what a joy it is to be in worship together today at Prestonwood. If you're a guest visiting with us, maybe even for the very first time, we want to say what a blessing it is to have you worshiping with us either here in the room or online all over the world every weekend in our services here at Prestonwood. It's our joy and our honor to be able to lock hearts and arms and voices with believers all over the world connecting with us online as a part of our services. So if that's you, we want to say welcome to you today. We're so very glad to have you a part of all that God's doing today at Prestonwood. And if you're here, we do want to say that it's our joy to be able to worship with you and to serve you today. And one thing that we would love if you would share with us that you're here today by texting the word connect to 74788. When you do that, some information will populate right there on your mobile device, and you can let us know that you were our guest today. On the way out of our services, we would love it if you would stop by Guest Central. We have a team that's there for you right there in our atrium that would love to talk with you, pray with you. Maybe you have a decision that you want to make for the Lord, or you'd like more information about our church. We'd love to share all of that with you. And just so you know, guests and family, we've been praying for you all week. We've been praying for this morning and for this service that God would move in a powerful way in all of our lives, that we'd bring all of our praise and all of our worship, and that we'd lift high the name of Jesus. And we're going to continue to do that this morning because this is one of our most very special Sundays. This is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Amen. You know, all throughout the year, under the leadership of our pastor, we talk about how we are a pro-life church. But it's far more than just a disposition, a political statement. Amen? We're the people of God that we believe that our God is a God of love and a God of life. And He is fighting and He is advocating for every life. And so for us, our conviction at this church is that every life and every life yet to be born matters in the heart and the mind of God, created in the image of God. So we celebrate that today. And we take a moment in our service to just stand together and say, and almost renewing of a commitment, that we are going to be continuing to stand for life like never before, fighting for the unborn, for babies, for moms, for families, and for hope, and for the Lord Jesus to work in the hearts and lives of people. We want to take just a moment and highlight one of our very most special ministries, the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, now into its 34th year of ministry. And we have some stories and some recaps that we want to show you in a wonderful video. And then Leanne Jameson's going to join us on the platform. Watch this video.
In the past 12 months, over 30,000 women have walked through our doors, burdened, alone, uncertain, afraid, many with their minds made up for an abortion. But inside these doors, something extraordinary happens. These women encounter the life they carry, seeing the sonogram and hearing the heartbeat.
I heard about Prestonwood when I had my first daughter. I was looking for, you know, a lot of options. So I went and I fell in love with it immediately. The women were so nice. You know, they were so quick to pray over us and ask me how I'm doing.
I was looking for something close by. I was just getting a divorce. So I wanted somewhere that I could come to and feel safe because I was considering abortion. They made me feel like I was at home.
Had doubts whether or not if I was pregnant. On the phone with my best friend, and she decided that I go to Walmart and get a 88 cents pregnancy test. It was the longest drive home. I didn't think I was gonna keep her. I didn't want her. And as time went on and the classes that I took here, I kept coming back for more.
It's important for me personally that they care because I don't have that. It's good to have somebody who cares.
Every single one of you at Prestonwood told me, you have options, but we're here for you. We love you and we're gonna support you every single step of the way.
I have my baby now, and have gone through a lot during delivery helped me get closer to God. I want to thank the donors because my family was not a part of the process of me having this baby out of wedlock, and so I want to thank the donors for giving me the baby shower that I didn't get to have at all with my family.
To have other people come behind you and speak exactly what you're feeling, what you're thinking, amazing. You don't even have to say it, you could just feel it.
I got closer to God and to my faith, and I was able to realize that because of you guys.
And I'm trying not to tear up. I'm trying not to cry. I knew this was gonna happen. This is the best thing that I could have ever done.
The need and the work continue. The need is real, and the need is now. Look into your own heart and give in abundance so that this amazing ministry can continue to reach the lives of women, their families, and their unborn babies.
I would definitely like to give a big thanks to the pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Graham. Thank you, Preston Wood Baptist Church, from the bottom of my heart.
Preston Wood was with me through everything. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Unbelievable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's a Jesus ministry, isn't it? Our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. And as we said just a moment ago, moving into our 34th year of ministry, so thankful for the vision of our pastor and for you, church family, for the years and years of continued support of this incredible ministry. And those are just a few of the unbelievable stories of changed lives and precious little babies. Every time I watch those videos and you see those moms and then you hear that little baby cry, and you think, wow, another life saved. And so this is Leanne Jamison, our executive director of our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. Would you welcome Leanne? Leanne and her team do an unbelievable job day in and day out serving women and saving babies. That's the work of the Pregnancy Center. And I know one of the things that we want to share today with Prestonwood family is just some of the victories that God has done in your midst and your team. Tell us some of the things that the Lord's been up to this last year.
It has been an incredible year of ministry. We continue to see, you saw over 30,000 client visits at the centers. That is absolutely incredible. So many of them broken, hurting, seeking abortion, but they come to us first. And as a result, 86% choose life.
Wow.
That's something to be celebrated.
Wow. One of my favorite things to see on that screen, church family, of course, the visits, the ultrasounds, the adoptions. Look at that, 87 adoption referrals. Praise the Lord. More to come about that at the end of our service in our Chosen Conference. Changed views, viewpoints, changed minds.
Yeah, those are women that came to us that had an abortion appointment or were going for an abortion, came into the center, and in their visit chose life. That's what that number represents.
Wonderful. And look at that, 193 made a profession of faith to follow the Lord Jesus. You talk about not just saving the life of a little baby, which is unbelievably critical, so important. It's far, far more than, as we said a moment ago, any kind of political disposition, although it's a political issue, no question. This is a theology issue. This is a Jesus issue. This is a people of God issue. And Prestonwood, you've been out on the front lines supporting our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, and this is the difference that your giving and your support makes. Now, we know God's worked incredible victories. We know about our new center that's coming to Fort Worth. We're excited about that. I know you want to share about that in just a moment. But we also know that there's still, despite the defeat of the Roe v. Wade, there in the Supreme Court, it's fallen. Roe never turned 50. We praise God for that. Amen, church. And so the Lord moved mightily through that. But we know now there's still challenges. We know there's still things that we're confronting and facing. The battle's far from over, isn't it?
Yeah, we certainly are seeing a rise in chemical abortion. The battle has really moved online, which means that we continue to make sure that we are first and foremost, that a woman who is in that crisis finds us first. And we're continuing to expand. We're expanding to areas like Fort Worth, and that will not be our last expansion. Because of you, You may not be in that room with that young woman that you saw on that screen making that decision, but when you write a check or you give online to us, you are very much a part of her choosing life.
Amen. That's your work, church. That's you being a part of that in the room, in the moment. And I love what you said there, that we're not done. God's got much more for us to do. We're going to be talking about that all year long. Now, as we think about moving forward, Leanne, how can we pray and support as a church family like never before? Challenge us today.
I need you, church family, to be mobilized like never before. We cannot relax just because Roe v. Wade was overturned. That certainly is a victory, but there is still abortion in our country. Texas women are still being targeted for abortion, both going out of state and, like I said, online. And so that means that we need to press forward. Until abortion is not just illegal, but unthinkable and unattainable, our work is not done. Like you said, spiritual issue. So there's a few things I'm going to ask of you. One is, we've got these incredible feet that we are going to have people at the door. We want you to pick them up. It will put it on your lapel. Remember to pray, and maybe someone's going to ask you what these are. They're the feet of a 10-week fetus size, of 10-week baby in the womb. Secondly, we need you to give. There's envelopes in your pew today. There, you can give through the giving stations out there. You can come see us. We would love to help you give. You can text to give. I don't know how to do that, but apparently y'all do. So if you're not like me and write a check, you can do it that way. And then you can serve. I'm going to tell you, you may be sitting here thinking, how can I help? I mean, I'm a male. We have male client advocates. The fathers of the baby are coming with the women to the appointment almost 60% of the time. Men need to hear. Want to stop abortion? It's going to be the male voice in raising fathers up to be the men and the fathers God designed.
Amen. Amen. So there's the challenge, church family. You've heard it. And as our men come forward now to take our offering, we're going to have a time just not only to receive our offering and in your regular tithe and your regular giving, church family, thank you so much, as always, for your generosity, for your faithfulness in your tithes and in your offerings. And above and beyond that today, would you hear this challenge that Leanne's given us? And would you receive this opportunity to be a blessing and to partner in the work of the Pregnancy Center to see us save babies, restore families, to set a new course for generations of people to come because of the work of this amazing ministry? So as we bow our heads to pray and we receive our offering, not only that the Lord bless your giving today, but we want to say a special word of prayer for Leanne and her team as they continue to serve. So, Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. And we ask that as you take this moment, Lord, of worship, as we pass these plates, as we give in all the different ways that have been shared with us, all these opportunities for us to give and step into the work of your kingdom. Father, we want to pray for the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. And like never before, Lord, in the midst of so much darkness in our culture, God, that they would be a bright, shining beacon of hope and light in our city, in Fort Worth, and beyond. Lord, that you would save babies this year through this incredible ministry, that you'd touch the hearts of moms, of women who are in desperation and crisis, that you'd bring families together, that you'd rescue the hearts of men, dads involved in all this, Lord, that you'd write new stories and families all over Texas and beyond because of the work of the Pregnancy Center here at Prestonwood. So bless this team. Bless our church as we go out the business of your kingdom, Lord, like never before. Take this offering, Lord. Take our tithe. Take all that we are, God, all of our worship, and may it bring honor and glory to you as you use it in multiplied ways like never before. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
I'm looking at a masterpiece. I'm staring at a work of art. I'm listening to a symphony. Every beat of your tiny heart. You used to be a choice to make, but now I think you've chosen me. 'Cause I see 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, and I know this is meant to be. 'Cause I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as a plan. Ooh. next to beautiful. I see you right before my eyes, and every single breath you breathe is destiny love has brought to life. I thought it was my story's end, but now the future's all I see. Instead of asking who you might have been, I'm wondering who you're gonna be. 'Cause I don't believe in accidents, miracles, they don't just happen by chance.
Praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place.
Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Every life deserves a voice. Every child deserves a chance. You are more than just. Every life deserves a voice. Every child deserves a chance. You are more than just a choice. Oh, there's no such thing as a plan. Every life deserves a voice. Every child deserves a chance. You are more than just a choice. There's no such thing as unplanned.
Amen. Thank you. Take a seat. And I want to introduce our preacher for today, my good friend Skip Heisig, who came over for our men's conference on Friday night. A little more about that later at the close of the service. Incredible evening on Friday. But of course, we celebrate life, and we are so grateful for this mission that flows right out of the heart of God, and therefore through the ministry of our church. And I know for some this is a hard message to hear, especially if you've made poor choices in the past. But Skip Heisig today is going to come with a message of hope for every person. And there is redemption, and even our center, our ministry centers, we provide this message of recovery and post-abortion counseling and that kind of touch, because we know there are many broken and hurting people. In fact, we were all born broken. Did you know that? Amen. Life is a beautiful and wonderful choice, but every one of us born into this world, we were born broken, and that's why Christ came, to put us back together again. Skip Heisig is pastor of Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque, one of the largest churches in America. He and his wife, Lenya, founded it. Their son, Nate, is associate pastor there. His family is a wonderful church. You can watch Skip Heisig preach all over YouTube and media. You can read his books. We have one of these books that we are featuring today, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. It's a wonderful overview of Scripture. More about that a little later. But I want to get Skip Heisig right up here today. And thank you for coming, taking time out of your church and pulpit, staying over and preach for us. Come on, Skip. Skip is very tall. And he stands tall for Christ. That's the main thing.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I don't wear a tie usually. I wear a tie at weddings, funerals, and Prestonwood. So I'm really happy that you got me all into a suit and tie. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for your legacy, your faithfulness to stand for Christ and preach the gospel without wavering all these years. Amen. Because of that, this church is one of the great bastions of truth in the world. And I thank God for Prestonwood Church. Well, you have a Bible, I take it, so turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 39. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. It's a little message I'm calling Things to Remember in the Dark. Things to Remember in the Dark. When Pastor Jack began the series on Joshua, he asked the question, why in the new year would we go back to the Old Testament? And he started in Joshua. I'm taking you all the way back to Genesis. By the way, the answer to that question, why we study the Old Testament, is because in the New Testament, Paul said, all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition. So all of these have life lessons for us. I know you probably know this, but most photographs today are taken on one of these devices, a phone. In fact, 5 billion of these photographs are taken every day across the world. Americans take most of the photographs, 20.2 pictures the average American takes on a phone, a device like this. But not too long ago, there were devices called cameras. And I need to explain. This is a sheet of negatives. Ever see one of these? So this is how it used to be done. And it was quite an elaborate process. They would have a strip of film, emulsion is on it. On the emulsion are little particles called silver halide particles. When the light hits the film, it excites it, that's what they call it, and there's a conversion process that happens. An image is formed that you cannot see. It's called a latent image. But then it's taken into a room called a dark room. And in the dark room, chemicals are applied to the emulsion of the film. The silver halide turns into metallic silver. The exposed portions of the film turn black. Those that aren't exposed as much are clear. And you have a negative from which a positive is made. Now, when you took pictures back in these days, you wouldn't see them for days. For several days or weeks, you wouldn't know what you took. You hoped it came out right. This would be very frustrating for a wedding photographer who hopes he got it spot on. Now you look at the back of the camera or you look at your phone and you see that you've got it, or you take another picture. But many photographers believe the real art takes place in the dark room where nobody sees. One of those photographers who was a master in the dark room is a man named Ansel Adams. Ansel Adams is known for his monochromatic photography, his black and white. He developed what he called the zone system, an amazing dynamic range of a picture like never before. But the next time you see Ansel Adams, you see a picture by him, just remember you are looking at what a master did in the dark. In fact, I'm going to put up a picture that you can see. You see, that is a picture of the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. This photograph sold at auction 4 years ago for $988,000. Can you imagine paying almost $1 million for a black and white photograph? I mean, there's no color in it. But this is a work of a master who manipulated scenes in the dark. That's what I want to talk to you about. God is the master who manipulates the darkest times of our life and develops the negatives into positives. Amen. You know, the whole Bible carries this theme. The theme of what God does in dark times is from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis begins with the fall of mankind and how sin entered the world, how evil came into the world. Exodus carries the theme of how the children of Israel were in a very dark period of wandering in the wilderness, but God was developing them into a nation. Books like Job and Ecclesiastes, that's the main theme of these books, is darkness and suffering. The book of Psalms, how many times David cries out in his anguish, the dark moments of his life. Then there's prophets like Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, weeping and crying over the city of Jerusalem falling. Then we get to the New Testament. Books like Hebrews and 1 Peter are written to Christians who are enduring suffering. But then towering above it all is the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows, the Bible calls him, and acquainted with grief. But today in Genesis chapter 39, I want to look at a man who was developed in the dark, and that is Joseph. A man developed in the dark. I'm going to give you four truths to remember in dark times. Four truths to remember when life seems out of control. And because there are four, think of it like a picture frame. We're framing the picture. The first is that dark times are permitted by God. He allows them. In Genesis 39, I'm going to pick it up in verse 19 because I have a hunch you know the story. And so it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him. The master is named Potiphar. Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. You know the story. Joseph was suffering because he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of being inordinate in the house. Joseph is thrown into prison by Potiphar. But there's an overriding theme, and that is God let this happen. God allowed this difficult, dark time to happen in his life. In fact, God is the one who sovereignly allows difficulties. Now, let me give you a thumbnail sketch of Joseph's life, because his whole life was difficult. Ever since he was a kid, he faced hardship. First of all, he grew up with a passive and preoccupied father. He grew up in an environment of relational tension. His dad, Jacob, and his uncle Esau had a falling out over a birthright. Later on, his dad, Jacob, and his grandpa, Laban, had a falling out over a ranching issue, flocks and herds. Joseph's mother, Rachel, died when Joseph was still young, giving birth to his younger brother. Joseph's oldest brother, Reuben, had an incestuous relationship with one of his father's wives. And Joseph's sister, Dinah, was abducted and raped by a group of men in Shechem. Later on, Joseph's two older brothers went in and murdered all of those men from Shechem. And that's just the early years of Joseph's life. Once he grows up, his brothers form a jealousy and a hatred against him and sell him to Midianites, who bring him down to Egypt. Now he is in prison as a slave in Egypt, all because of a lie. Here's the main point of this. Joseph did everything right, but everything wrong happened to him. Now, there's a lot of reasons that people suffer. Most of the time, suffering is the result, the consequences of just living in a fallen world. Sometimes our suffering is the direct consequence of a choice that we've made, a sin we've committed. Sometimes suffering is a result of God's judgment. Sometimes suffering is a result of persecution from unbelievers. But here's what I like to tell you. Don't try to figure out where the suffering is coming from so much. Why you suffer is not nearly as important as how you suffer. That's so important. Suffering is a fact of life. Everybody goes through it. Every life, all lives, your life. Job said in Job 5, verse 7, "A man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward." And then Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Not you might have it, you will have it. It's a guarantee. All lives face it, even God's people. Jesus said, God causes the sun to shine on the just, the unjust. He causes the rain to fall on the godly and the ungodly. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I believe the hardest-hearted, most unlovely Christians in all the world are those who have never had much trouble. And those who are the most sympathizing, loving, and Christ-like are those who have had the most afflictions. The worst thing that can happen to any of us is to have our path made too smooth. Well, God's got you covered. He won't let your path be too smooth. So dark times are permitted by God. He lets them happen. He prescribes them even. The second truth to remember in times of darkness is that dark times enhance the presence of God. If we were to give testimonies, you could all say, it was during that dark moment that God showed up, and I felt him like never before. Happened with Joseph. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I know that many people during times of trials, tribulations, suffering, affliction, walk away from God. I've heard those stories. Oh, but I've also heard the stories and found it true that many people find God in times of suffering. And it actually moves people not away from, but toward God. It awakens them to the realities of life. And the truth is this, pain moves people in different directions. It will either, as you probably heard before, it'll either break your back or bend your knee. It moves you in one of those directions. Some people become bitter when they suffer. They get angry, they turn inward, they're resentful, filled with self-pity. Other people, they're not so much bitter, they become battered. They just sort of grin their teeth and bear it. They make it through life. They're calloused. But then there are other people who actually become better. And that's not just a talking point. That's not just a preacher's clever statement. They actually become not bitter, not battered, but better. I received a letter from somebody in our congregation not long ago. It was just after the pandemic. And she wrote this. Her name is Jen. She said, I grew up in Calvary and by your teachings. When I was 16, I gave my life to the Lord. However, when I turned 18 years old, I rebelled. For the majority of my adult life, I lived how I wanted. And then this virus hit, the pandemic. And it was the wake-up call I needed. 4 weeks ago, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I've never experienced such peace in my heart. I'm hungry, ravenous even, for the Word. I know the Holy Spirit is with me, and I praise Him for my salvation. Amen. Now, the pandemic moved Jen in the right direction. She became not bitter, not battered, but she became better. The presence of God was experienced in her life. You see, pain plants the flag of truth in the fortress of a rebel soul. Pain plants the flag of truth in the fortress of a rebel soul. It was C.S. Lewis who said, God speaks to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone, said Lewis, to rouse a deaf world. We all know the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee and how that Jesus calmed the storm, but you remember how Jesus came walking on the waves to the disciples. Now, what's amazing to me about that story is that Jesus came to them on the very thing they feared the most. They thought they were going under. They thought the storm was going to capsize the boat. But here comes Jesus walking on the very thing they feared the most, the waves. And so, don't you think that Jesus can come to us in the very experiences we might fear the most? Oh, I never want that to happen in my life ever. And yet, if or when they do happen, you find the presence of God abiding with you closer than ever before. And that's because the image of God is developed in the negatives. The image of God in our lives is developed in the negatives. So dark times are permitted by God. Dark times enhance the presence of God. The third way to frame this picture is dark times are a pathway for God. A pathway for God. Look at verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. And then verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Now, there are benefits in dark time, benefits and trials. Now, I was reading an article a couple days ago that said all of life needs a counterbalancing experience. The article read, this is why we need pain in order to experience happiness. We need contrasting experiences in life to get the most out of it. In other words, when you go through a difficult time and it stops, you go, boy, I had it really good before. Now I know what to compare it to. So that's the minimal benefit to a trial. But there are greater benefits to hardships, to dark times, and that is it develops our character. In James chapter 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Romans chapter 5, tribulation worketh patience or produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. I love the story about the young man who went up to the preacher and he said, Pastor, pray for me. I'm a very impatient man. Would you pray for patience? He said, I'd love to. Father, in Jesus' name, send this young man trials, tribulation, hardship, heartache, darkness, affliction. The guy said, back off, preacher. I asked for patience. And then he quoted Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience. That's how you get it. You get it. God works during those times. But more than just character development, what I want you to see with Joseph is that this dark room experience, this affliction, was God's pathway in Joseph's life to leadership. You see, the trials in the dark prison that Joseph was in was training Joseph to lead the world in a very dark time, a time of famine. How did he get trained to guide the known world at the time through a time of famine? He learned it in prison. He learned it when he was overseeing these people that were with him. Think of it this way. If Joseph's brothers didn't hate him, they never would have sold him to the Midianites. If his brothers didn't sell him to the Midianites, he never would have gone down to Egypt. If he never went down to Egypt, he never would have worked for Potiphar. If he didn't work for Potiphar, Potiphar's wife would never have accused him. If Potiphar's wife never would have accused him, he never would go to jail. If he never had gone to jail, he wouldn't have been able to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker in jail. If he didn't interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker in jail, he never would have been taken to Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. And if he wouldn't have interpreted his dreams, he wouldn't become the prime minister of Egypt, the second most powerful man in the world. You see, every single dark moment, God was working. He was knocking off the rough edges and moving the chess piece on the board to a very strategic position. Now, life is filled with problems. Life is filled with trials. I would venture to say you are in one now, you are coming out of one, or you're about to go into one. That sort of sums up our life. Now you say, why is that? Why is the Christian life, the life of following Jesus Christ, why would that be the case? And here is why. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. God is more interested in making you holy than in making you happy. Because the truth is, once you're holy, you will be happy. God is more interested in making you valuable to others than just joyful for yourself. And pain is the path that takes us directly into the will of God. You know, if Christopher Columbus would have turned back in his quest to discover the New World, nobody would have blamed him. It was hard. But nobody would have remembered him either. If you want to be memorable, if you want to be valuable, you have to allow yourself to be miserable from time to time. And watch how God takes the negatives and turns them into a positive. So we have three sides to our picture frame. Dark times are permitted by God. Dark times enhance the presence of God. And dark times are a pathway for God. I'll give you the fourth side of the picture frame to complete it. Dark times include perks from God. Dark times include perks from God. Now, I need to explain that one. Verse 21, I draw your attention back to that verse. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Though God allowed Joseph to go through this, though he took him into the dark room, we see little rays of light that show us how God lessened the severity of this prison sentence. It's as if he peppered the suffering with blessing. He sprinkled it with perks. It's like putting sugar in your coffee, if you're into that sort of thing. I like it black. But some people don't. It's just a little too bitter the way it is. But you put a little sugar in there, it's just right. God does that. Verse 21 says, the Lord showed him mercy. In other words, it could have been much worse than it was. He could have been ill-treated in prison. He could have gotten beaten up in prison. He could have been maimed for life while he was in prison. They could have killed him in prison. None of that happened. That's God's mercy. That's God's mercy. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3, it's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And then notice something else in verse 21. Not only did the Lord show him mercy and gave him favor. What that means is, though he is incarcerated, he's also elevated. He's given responsibility. He becomes the assistant supervisor, even though he is a prisoner, all because of God's intervening grace. So verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. This is God working behind the scenes. This is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament principle in Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God's working behind the scenes. One of my favorite John Nelson Darby quotes is that God's ways are behind the scenes, but he moves all the scenes that he is behind. So he's in prison, he's suffering, but he's being elevated, he's being trained, and everything in that prison is under his hand. There was a storm at sea many years ago, and a ship sank out at sea. One of the men who survived made it to an uninhabited island by himself. He had a backpack with just a few items to his name. And to protect himself and protect the few things he had, he built a hut. And every morning he would go out to the horizon and scan the horizon, morning and evening, to see if any ships were passing by. None came, day after day. One evening, he was out searching for food. A storm moved in. Lightning struck his hut. And by the time he got back to his hut, it was being consumed in flames. He fell on the beach and just wept, because now everything in this life that he had left was destroyed. He went to sleep that night. The next morning, he looks out on the beach and sees a ship that has dropped an anchor in the little bay. He went out to it. The captain came down, and the captain said, "We saw your smoke signal, and so we came. We saw your smoke signal, and so we came." You see, everything he owned had to be destroyed before he could be rescued. But rescued he was. So when it's dark, learn to look for perks. Learn to look for the favor of God in the midst of it, the mercy of God, and how God will make you prosper even in that time. And you know, you can train your heart to look for that. If you were to take a handful of sand and try to find iron particles, I guess there's a couple ways you could go about it. Number one, you could actually run your fingers through it to see if you spot any pieces of iron, but there's a better way, right? It's called a magnet. You just run a magnet over the top of the sand, those particles will come up. You can train your heart to act like a magnet in life, where you notice the favor, notice the mercy, see the perks, and that carries you through the day, that carries you through the darkness. A final word to those of you who might be experiencing a dark time. You're in one right now. The only thing you see in your life are negatives. There's no real picture to it, just negatives, just clumps of silver halide. Your life is an emulsion, but you don't see much purpose in it. And I know what it's like when you're in those difficult times. Your impulse is to run away or just to quit altogether. But it says in Proverbs 24:16, though a righteous man may fall seven times, he rises again. And maybe I'm here today just to tell you in your difficult time, get up. Don't stay down. Get up again, because you may not see it now, but God is working on a masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, and he is allowing it in your life because he's going to give you his mercy and prosper you and use you like you've never seen before. Maybe for some of you, it's the wake-up call you need, like Jen, to say, I'm going to get serious with God, commit my life to Christ, recommit my life to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few words we've been able to look at in Genesis. Thank you for the life of Joseph, a man of whom more is written about than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. More about Joseph than about the creation and the fall, because there are life lessons in lives that suffer for your glory. And so, Father, I pray for brothers and sisters and potential brothers and sisters who are listening to this, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself and they would experience your healing touch, your salvation, your forgiveness, your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Skip. And with heads still bowed and eyes closed, God brought you here to hear this message. God knows who you are and where you are in life. And there are a lot of folks in this room and others watching online who first came to Jesus, put their faith in Jesus during an incredible dark or difficult time in their lives. The fact is, for all of us, before Christ, it was a dark time. We were living in the darkness of sin and separation from God. But Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again. And because Christ is alive, the darkness can turn to light and your death can turn to a resurrection. That's salvation. I know so many people who have said yes to Jesus for the first time because they were going through something that they couldn't handle on their own. They thought they had it all together, but Jesus broke them. God broke them, and that could be you. And God is calling you to himself today. As Skip mentioned, there may be believers here in this room that you're thinking about just quitting. But the Lord brought you here today to say, no, one more time, you're going to get up and go forward with your life. That's our theme in these days, forward. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Those of you who need Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. You know that God brought you here so that you could say yes to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of negatives, a lot of no's in your life, but you can say an everlasting yes because God loves you. We sang about it earlier. God loves you. And because he loves you, he gave his life and gives his life for you. And if you will come to him, you need God. You know you need God today. And you know him through Jesus. So I'm going to ask when we stand up and sing in just a moment that you come forward. Our ministers are upstairs and on this lower level to speak with you about your need of Christ. Just come. You don't have to have a speech. You don't have to say a lot. Just say, I need God. I need Jesus in my life. And the pastor will take it from there. Online, 74788 is the text number, 74788. Text the word Jesus, and we're standing by to connect with you and help you in the midst of your pain to find the power of God in your life today. Just text Jesus to 74788. And again, those of you in the room, you know the Holy Spirit is working in this place right now. The Word of God has been preached. The gospel has been shared. Now you need to go forward. I'm going to ask that you come forward today and take those steps forward in your life and follow Jesus. If you are a believer already and you need prayer, you need someone to encourage you and help you and pray for you, if you want to renew your promises to God, like the young woman he talked about, maybe you need to come today and settle it and say, I'm trusting Christ in my life. I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to quit. Because I know Jesus would never quit on me, and he won't. There are others who need a church home, and you're worshiping at Prestonwood, and God is leading you forward in your life to come to Prestonwood as a church member. You can join the church today by simply coming forward with your testimony of faith. Lord, work in every heart and every life, online and on site, right here, today, right now. We thank you for your word preached today. And for your spirit moving in our hearts right now, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.